What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming at you live here the day after game four of the Stanley Cup final, which the Avs won. Wanted to dig a little bit more into, I guess we could call it a controversy. I don't know if it really is a controversy, if I'm being honest with you.
So we were trying to figure this out live on air last night, which I feel a little bad about because I just kept derailing us. But really, like, now that we've had a full night to kind of digest it, figure it all out, and like watch replays and get all the different looks and, you know, really sink our teeth into what they were upset about. I guess my real question here is this a thing?
No. It's not a thing at all. It's not even a little bit of a thing, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
John Cooper got mad about a line change. And yeah, apparently isn't even mad about it anymore.
Yeah, so I watched his media from today where he was just like, look, I was emotional. It was a tough loss.
Fair enough.
You know, my bad. But it wasn't. I would be like, first of all, I love John Cooper. I think he's a great head coach. I think that I floated the idea last night that I thought this was tactics.
Yeah.
That I thought this was him trying to juice up his guys because the three-peat has clearly not been proper motivation to get them through the Avalanche.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotten them close, but it hasn't gotten them across the line. And so I thought it was going to be more of a, it came across to me like not salty grapes so much as we've been wronged. We have to right the injustices of the world now.
And something for fuel a little bit.
Yeah. And something to kind of get his guys going. And then he comes out this morning and he kind of eats it. And then Ryan McDonough was like,
that happens constantly.
Guys, we call that a line change.
Yep.
Not a big deal. And it was like, yeah. Exactly. So it was, you know, I just thought it was a really weird 24 hours. And then you have, like, Darren Drager going on TSN and being like, the Colorado Avalanche continue to get so lucky, and it sucks that he's like, oh, Nazem Kadri's big moment is marred by this. And it's like,
such a weird take.
Do you think that in 5 years we're going to look back on this and be like, but the too many men, like Lightning fans will, of course.
Yeah.
They will take this to their grave.
Only them. The rest of the NHL right. World won't care.
In the same exact way that the St. Louis Blues fans are taking Kadri Rand Binnington on purpose to their grave.
Yep.
They worked those are the guys, like, those people will forever have this grievance that they hang on to. But, like, the rest of us, it's like, if we combed through every single game that the Tampa Bay Lightning won on their path to two cups in a row, how many times would we be able to find a game in which they didn't play particularly well, caught a couple of breaks, and then snuck one out at the end?
Plenty.
Because there's one in particular that I'm thinking of this year where they gave up a game-tying goal to the Toronto Maple Leafs that got pulled off the board because of an interference call.
Yep.
And I thought it was the right call. All good, right? Like, hey, it's interference. That interference call has not been made again this postseason.
Straight up. Straight up.
And that's where everybody gets frustrated with officiating. And, yeah, that last comment that just popped up on the screen, 100%. It's a lucky break.
I mean, is it even that lucky of a break? Honestly,
the too many men. No, but the way that I would say Colorado's
the game as a whole. Sure. Night, sure.
Fuck yeah.
Obviously two ridiculous bounces for two of their goals.
You get two, like, just a comedy of good fortune.
Yeah.
On those two goals. But there is nothing lucky about the goal in overtime.
One of your defensemen make a play on that one.
That's a great play from Darcy Kuemper. Look at that rocket of a pass from Lehkonen.
Yep.
And Kadri just knifes through those guys. That guy's got a broken thumb, and that guy just danced your man's Sergachev.
Yeah. It's a wild one to me.
He got danced. Like, swallowed up whole, put on the post-game menu. Like, just eaten up by that. And the Tampa Bay goals aren't. The first goal, I'll give you. There's some good fortune there. The second goal, look, the other team's goalie failing to execute in any meaningful way is not really. I don't view that as good luck. I view that as that teams play the game and guys have to execute. When a goalie doesn't execute, he doesn't. In that way, then the Avs' entire 7-0 win is lucky because Vasilevsky was like, "There's a free one. There's a free one." That puck gets through me. There's a free one. You know, I don't view those goals as lucky. I'm talking about you throw a puck at a net like last night. It rebounds off Vasilevsky and kicks off of the back of McKinnon's skate and then hits Vasilevsky's skate again and, like, trickles in. Come on.
Here's the thing. And I go back to the Avs Blues series. And I get, look, the Blues and Tampa are not the same team. I understand. I understand it's a different level. But the Avs did a very, very good job in the Blues series of not letting the luck own them.
Yeah.
They had a lot of bounces that weren't going their way, and they still got up off the mat every single time and found a way to win games and that series.
Oh, and their game two loss against St. Louis is off the back of goofy shit that happened to them.
Yep.
Jordan Kyrou's stick rides up Sam Girard's and goes and like goes far corner.
Yep.
David Perron has a one-timer that is an inch off the ice. It rides up Josh Manson's stick and under Darcy Kuemper's arm.
Yep.
On a 5-on-3, no less. Like, yeah, man. Like, they got some good break there, but more than anything, like, the Blues beat the Avs that night. They got their good fortune, and then they finished the job.
Yep.
And then you saw in other games, they got good fortune, but they couldn't score a real goal.
Straight up.
They couldn't. They had to actually, like, be like, you cannot win a series like that. So, yeah, you know what? The Avs got lucky last night. But you look at that overtime goal. You look at that, how that overtime got played. The Avs dominated that shit.
Absolutely.
And to be honest with you, Tampa Bay in overtime, Tampa Bay was the lucky one to have not lost already, especially with that Bo Byram. It smokes the post after a puck gets through three guys on that backhand. Like, yeah, man. Tampa Bay, this is hockey. Like, what we're describing is hockey. This is the push and pull. There's a little bit of good fortune scattered throughout all of these games. This is why they play seven. Because you don't want one game to decide this. Now, if it gets to a game seven and, you know, bounces, then life. But you had six games to get to that point is what's up. And, like, ultimately, you got to overtime. each team got to reset. This is exactly the scenario. This is the world the Tampa Bay Lightning have been the shit in.
Yep.
Close games, tooth and nail, like just big moments.
You don't have to go far back. The Rangers series, they won multiple games that were 1-1 with 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen here.
How did they finish off the Panthers?
Yep.
Like, one of those games is going into overtime, and Ross Colton gets, he just goes and parks himself in front, scores with 3 seconds left in regulation.
And they win.
They're going from, okay, we're headed to overtime, to your season's over.
Yep.
Darren Helm can relate. But, you know, the thing was, like, and a huge part of this, they get that 5-on-5 goal.
Yeah.
It's the first 5-on-5 goal that the Lightning give up in 6 games.
At home, yeah.
At home, yeah. They've been crushing it defensively, right? Kind of opens it up. All right, great. Now that that's done, 5-on-5 goal in overtime wins it for them. Yep. Like, that... The Avs got lucky last night. The Avs played a good hockey game last night. Tampa Bay played a good hockey game last night. Tampa Bay got a little lucky too. But when it came time, overtime, man.
Yep, Avs put the pedal down.
They dropped the hammer on the champs. And as I said last night's post-game show, they took that from them.
Yep.
That had all the hallmark trappings of that being a 2-2. Tampa Bay is going to build off of this. They're going to feel great. They're going to roll into Denver with all the momentum, and the Avs are blah, 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 blah. And
yeah,
I guess Evan continues to insist on saying places. They Avs dead ass are bussing for real.
For real, for real. No cap.
please stop playing video games with younger people.
Yeah, I mean, look, no one is going to remember all the weird stuff. No one's going to remember the lucky bounces. No one's going to remember the nonsense, the controversy. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, everyone's going to remember Kadri won a game in OT to put the Avs one game away from winning the cup.
Going to remember the Kadri goal the way that I remember Chris Drury's goal in game 6 in New Jersey.
Yep. That's how it's going to go.
Or, you know, if they don't win the cup, we don't remember it at all because we brain bleach this as hard as we possibly can and never think about it again.
Also true. Also true.
But I don't. I'm not about that, Mike. I'm not about it, man. You don't like the general tone of the fans. The Avs fans have waited 21 years for this. They sat through a lot of losing hockey, man. This is the shit. They're up 3-1. They're on the verge of it. Game 5 could be a coronation. It is going to have to be their best game. It's okay that people are excited. You don't have to feel the same way as other people. It's totally cool that people are excited about this. It's totally cool, man.
I honestly think the fan base is a little all over the place.
Dude.
Not really sure what to do with itself, yeah.
The fan base is made of people, and people all process this shit in their own way.
For sure. No doubt about it.
I mean, I refuse to, like, I feel guilty that we have to start creating, like, if they win the cup content. Because I have refused to be like, no, it's always if. It's always if. There's no win. None of that shit. It's if. We got ahead of ourselves last year and drank the Kool-Aid. And, you know, if you understand where that phrase comes from, we drank that Kool-Aid. And this year, it's one game at a time. One game at a time. But it is okay. Let people enjoy this, man. This is the stuff that you sign up for in fandom.
All right. I got a question for you, AJ.
God, the donut line when Tyler Arneson was the center.
Who's going number one overall today?
You know, it's funny you ask this because if you had asked me before midnight last night, I would have said Jabari Smith.
Okay. He's the favorite.
Yeah.
One overall.
I would have said Jabari Smith, but the money moved a lot to the Duke kid last night. And that makes me wonder what's up.
All right.
So we'll see. But I'm still, if the Magic make the pick, I am betting on it being Smith.
All right. Well, you can go over to DraftKings Sportsbook. We're taking this as our pick of the week. If you want Jabari Smith, he's minus 350. So a safe bet, perhaps. But if you want to take a little bit of risk there, Paolo Banchero, the Duke player, plus 200 to go first overall.
A lot of money moved on him last night. Like a lot of money.
Yep.
Interesting because a lot of people have expected Chet Holmgren to be OKC's guy at two.
He is minus 500 to go second for the record. So
gotta wonder what's going on with that.
Some interesting stuff there as well. You can go bet on the NBA draft over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Of course, you can bet on the Stanley Cup Final. You can bet on all sorts of other crazy sporting events as well. Highly recommend you go over there. Use the DNVR code to sign up for a new account. Right now, you can bet $5 with a new account on the NHL Stanley Cup Final, and you get $100 in free bets just for betting. You don't even have to bet correctly. So jump on that. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the Stanley Cup Final. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also, of course, brought to you by Sexy Pizza. They had the delicious delivery pizza in the pregame for us. By the way, Sexy Pizza, are they 3-0 when Sexy Pizza actually gets delivered, or is it 2-0?
It's more than that because we got it all Edmonton series.
Did we get it? So they're like 6-0 with Sexy Pizza.
The one game we didn't get it was game three.
Yeah, I think we didn't get it for game two as well. But
you're right. We also did not get it for game two.
But they got it for game one, which the Avs won. Got it for game four, which the Avs won. And then the Edmonton series.
I mean, really, like. This doesn't matter.
Of course not.
They're 15-3 in the postseason.
Pretty easy to catch like, those dubs, yeah. Nonetheless,
doesn't matter what the hell we've done, man.
You can go get Sexy Pizza either way and get 15% off when you go to sexy.pizza. That's www.sexy.pizza. And use the DNVR code for your order. You can get plain old pepperoni or you can get one of their crazy philanthropies, which is like cream cheese and jalapeno or their pesto pizza. Bunch of options from them. Highly recommend you go check out Sexy Pizza today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So, the Avs are one win away from the Stanley Cup, heading into Game 5 at home. They have an opportunity to do it in front of the home fans. I want to start here because the war of attrition is starting to spiral. Obviously, on Tampa's side, they lost Chernak last game.
Yeah, so Chernak gets hurt on that PK that the Avs score on, and he can't move.
Yep.
McKinnon just takes advantage of the fact that Chernak can't move, steps into him, steps into that space. So sick. And then does not come back. Like he, just I think he's done. I think they said he sat on the bench, which, you know, we've seen from guys before. But
didn't play. Yeah.
Yeah. I think last year we saw Eric Johnson sit on the bench for a game where it was like, look, he's leadership guy and he's dressed. So we liked his, you know, get out there and chatter. Right.
Yep. But didn't play. You also saw that weird moment with Cirelli later in the game with his arm.
Yeah. And then
come back and play.
Apparently there was a camera shot from one of the TV broadcasts that if was inside Tampa's locker room and caught Pat Maroon helping Cirelli put his gear on.
Yikes.
Just to go into the third period. And look, when you talk about Cirelli was like a major X factor in this series coming
definitely.
In.
Definitely.
His defensive excellence, his ability to produce a little bit of offense, although it hadn't happened much in the postseason before this series. He gets the first goal of the game last night. Like, with no Braden Point, his importance is magnified. Him having a problem is a huge issue, especially with Nazem Kadri, not only back in the lineup, but like functional and like not
how their team operates.
Like Nazem Kadri last night, we talked about it in the post game, and Nazem Kadri went head to head against the Stamkos Kucherov Palat last night.
Yep.
And kicked the shit out of them.
Yep.
And when they don't have that depth, when they don't have that center depth to do it, it's a huge advantage for Colorado. And if Cirelli is that badly compromised, coming back to Colorado, where Bednar can pick his spots a little bit better. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a good time.
That pendulum swung hard in Colorado's favor last night. If Cirelli plays, but he plays the way that he was last night, if Chernak doesn't play, Chernak is really, 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 really important for them. Because when they're trying to lock things down defensively, it's McDonough and Chernak. Those are the ones who take the toughest D-zone assignments. Not Victor Hedman. Hasn't been Victor Hedman for a couple of years now. It's not Victor Hedman now. We've seen in this series, Victor Hedman, I think he'd eaten up at times defensively. Yep. And we saw Sergachev last night on the
just get destroyed.
Game-winning goal just gets chewed up. By Kadri. So it will be really interesting. This war of attrition started the start of the series, Tampa Bay's favor. Braden Point was in the lineup, No Kadri. And then no Kadri, no Burakovsky. Point unfortunately couldn't go, so it was kind of sitting in the middle there, maybe a little bit in Tampa's favor just because the Burakovsky thing really went their way.
Well, it's more than
now.
That. You're also seeing a bunch of lingering things with guys like Kucherov and Paul, and it goes both ways too, right? We saw Josh Manson really laboring at times in Game 4.
Wouldn't put his hand on a stick, and then yep. Wasn't an issue the rest of the game. So maybe we were just at the moment, but you know, Devon Taves is battling something. You know that guy is fighting something.
You've seen that. And these are only the ones that are obvious, right? No doubt there's a bunch of other nicks and knacks all over players in this whole series.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, the list is going to be when this series ends.
Oh, yeah.
The team is going to come out and be like, all right, this guy's dead. This guy needs body replacement surgery. This guy, he's not playing anymore. This guy you might see in December, like we'll
yep,
like it's gonna be ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, it's gonna be actually crazy how many injuries I think come out of this series one way or another. So,
and I don't necessarily say that as like glorify like these guys are warriors, you know, and all that. But I mean, this is just the reality. Like these guys have laid it all on the line for this, and there's going to be a cost.
No doubt about it.
When the Avs go to Finland to play Columbus next year, there might not be a couple of cats that go with them because they're not recovered from this series yet.
Travis asking, any chance for Berkey in Game 5?
Sure, don't feel good about it, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Just seeing the level of wrap that he had on his hand yesterday, wasn't even wearing his glove.
Yep.
I would say maybe maybe end of series at best. I'm just not sure that that's going to be feasible. The foot was already giving him problems. He can't hold a stick right now. It's like, dude.
Yeah. And make no mistake, despite both these teams having all these players with nagging injuries, they're still going to go out there and put on great games, whether it's one more, two more, three more. They're going to go out there and lay it all on the line. So yeah. You can only play the game you're in, as I like to say.
Mm-hmm. And the game and I'd love to touch on that for just a moment, because we've talked all year about what made this Avs team different, why we thought that they had a chance to be different come postseason. It's because the way that they were winning games in the regular season, they were coming back, they were dangerous in the third. It was a lot of different styles of hockey being played where they were successful along the way.
Yep.
And when they got into the postseason, where they got a little bit lucky, no doubt they got a little bit lucky, is their route to the Cup final. The Predators weren't a real hockey team. They sucked. They did. Yep. Their style was irrelevant. They were shitty. But hey, that's also what happens when you finish with the top seed in the regular season. You might get a shitty team that year.
Yep.
Nashville was shitty. But then you go, you go on. St. Louis was really good at what they were really good at, but they had a couple of fatal flaws. Their defense wasn't very good, especially beyond Justin Falk. Really, yeah. Like Justin Falk was like pretty.
Their one pretty darn good one,
pretty solid. And then Colton Parayko, Nick Leddy, those guys got the holy shit kicked out of them in that series. Their 920 goal scorers like failed to show up for the majority of the
series. Most of them ghosted.
It was like three of those guys, as is what happens in the postseason usually. But the Oilers in the conference final was like, this is an extreme version of what the Avs used to be.
Yep. Full one direction play.
Yeah. And it was all offense, where it was just like the best defensive team can come out of this. Yep. And the Avs were clearly.
It was not close. Especially with an injured Darnell Nurse. It just wasn't close.
Absolutely. It really McDavid and Draisaitl like did what they could. It was yeoman's work for them to be as competitive as they were, but no. And then you have Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, that's not a style matchup for Colorado that you would pick. Like, you would have taken the Rangers because you're like, dude, yes, Shesterkin is nuts, but are you serious?
You speed bag that team, yeah.
They're going to put 50 shots on goal a game. Now, they might only get three of them, but we feel like there's a pretty good feels here about that series. Tampa Bay had the kind of high-end talent, had the goaltender especially, had the defensive structure to really stress you, to really push you in a way you hadn't been pushed this postseason. And we've seen that come to fruition. We've seen that be true.
Two overtime games in this series. Yeah,
absolutely. Two overtime games, and they got bodied in another game. So you're a bounce or two away. You're two plays away from being down 3-1 in this series.
But you're up 3-1.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is what we've talked about is that's what made this team different, is that they found ways to be successful in all manners of style of games this entire season. And the Lightning are looking this. I don't want to make it sound like I'm putting it all in the past and that it's over, because it's not. They're going to have to, where Mike was correct in the chat earlier, they're going to have to play their best game of the series to get across the finish line. They've got to put the finishing touch on the series, but they have earned, I think, from me anyway, the benefit of the doubt with the way that they have played. in really this whole series. Like,
you really had one bad period so far this series from Colorado. Second period of game three.
Yep.
And the rest of the series has been competitive at worst, and the Avs have been better.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to put a bunch of holes in what the Avs have done so far. Of course, they still have to close. Of course, they still have to win one more. But
they've earned their way here. And it was last night. I mean, we talked about in the Bednar era, we've talked so much about the team's struggles with comebacks. They now lead the NHL postseason this year in comeback wins. They were tied with Edmonton until last night. And that's against Tampa Bay, who I believe was 6-1, maybe 7-1, when entering the third period with a lead. I'll check. But they had only lost one game.
And that was game five against St. Louis, yeah.
No, I mean Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had been nails closing out games. And 9 comeback wins out of 15 of them. They've had to come from behind at some point in the game. But it's specifically going into a third period.
Down to Tampa trailing. Bay.
Yeah, to Tampa Bay. You're talking about a team that has been absolute, like, world class.
Yep.
So just to give you context here, this is actually funny. I say this. Tampa Bay is now 7-2 after last night. They were 7-1.
Sure.
When leading after two periods. This postseason, Colorado was 9-1 when trailing after two periods. Tampa Bay is 2-5.
Yikes. And Colorado?
Everybody else in the postseason either had 0 wins or 1 win. The Avs are 3-2.
Is that, as Jesse would say, a championship caliber team?
I think it's a championship mindset. That
fair enough.
They have been, they're 3-2. They have a winning record in games in which they have trailed going into the third period.
They've also only trailed 5 games going into the third period these playoffs.
They've played 18 games and 5 of them, but that's the difference though.
Absolutely. They have, as you would use on Twitter, the hashtag found a way.
Because you look at some of these other teams that did not. The Carolina Hurricanes had 7 games in which they entered the third period trailing.
Yep.
That was half their games. They played 14 postseason games. And 7 of them they entered the third period trailing.
Couldn't win.
You know, you look at Edmonton. 6 of their 16 games, they entered the third period trailing.
Yep.
These teams, you just don't win. In the NHL, you just do not win very much.
From behind, yeah.
When you enter the third period while trailing. Colorado's 3 wins, I'd be willing to bet you, is more than some NHL teams had this year.
I definitely believe that.
Okay. It's actually more than 6 NHL teams. Yes.
Okay.
6 NHL teams this year had less than 3.
Brutal.
That's crazy. And the Avs have done that in the postseason, and there's like 6 other teams that had 3 during the regular season.
Not bad, Colorado. Not bad so far.
They're just great, man. They're just great. And somebody in chat mentioned Travis Yost's tweet today.
Yep. With their XG numbers, yeah.
Well, and he said, are they a Mount Rushmore team? Because the only other teams that they are in contention with, I think, were 2009 Red Wings, which were utterly dominant, and the 2012 Kings, which is... They went, I believe, 16-4.
Something like that, yeah. We shouldn't assume. If they get over the line, I think the answer is yes.
I agree. Well, if they get over the line tomorrow,
If they get over the line in five, it's definitely yes.
Yeah, it's a hard yes. This isn't even a question.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I think it's a conversation.
Sure. Fair enough. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can go get some of that at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you, or come get some down at the DNVR bar on Friday for the game. Should be a fun one. One way or another, the bar is going to be absolutely rocking. So that'll be fun no matter what. We're also brought to you by Green Mountain Dental Group. You can go to them and get your cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and they'll give you a free Sonicare toothbrush just for taking care of your teeth. They're just 15 minutes from downtown over in Lakewood. Highly recommend you go check them out. We've had a ton of people switch, and pretty much everyone says they do a great job. So go check out Green Mountain Dental. Again, right over there in Lakewood. Super easy to get to. The best family dentist around. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. As we get into what the Avs need to do in Game 5, one thing I saw talked about a lot, probably in part because Kadri brought it up in an intermission interview. Avs go home to Colorado where the ice isn't intentionally garbage. How much does that help them?
A lot. I mean, I don't think it's any accident that Tampa Bay has their most success when they're playing on chopped up ice.
Yep.
Because the ice in game one was kind of iffy.
Yeah.
They get into overtime, and then the ice in both games in Tampa Bay, not very good. The best ice of the series was game two.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying if the ice is good on Friday night that I'm expecting the Avs to turbo dunk them, but you never know.
It's not off the table.
Well, I just think it certainly helps because they want to the ice, it's not even like the skating so much as it is the way that the puck reacts to the ice.
Sure. It's just harder because, to make skill plays.
Exactly. You can make a lot of high skill plays at speed when the ice is good, reliable, and it's soft, and the puck is and it's flat.
Yep.
When everything is bouncing, it's all choppy, then, you know, it's just not the same. You're fighting it a lot more. There's a little bit more out of your control, and there are some elements there. We saw the Avs battle. We saw Tampa Bay battle it a little bit.
Yep.
Like, bad ice is a challenge for everybody. This is not a Colorado specific like problem, but there definitely is
of randomness. Yeah,
there definitely was a team last night that of course they're more comfortable there.
Yep.
So you get Colorado back if the ice is good, if the ice is like it was in game two and they can play with that speed, sure. They still have to actually play the game.
Of course.
But sure, yeah, the ice is like it's been odd to see the ice become like a
that big of a talking point.
Like a talking point, because you're like, really? Is this like the altitude version of talking about altitude if you're a flatlander? Like
anywhere that's slightly warmer is like, well, the ice is going to suck.
Yeah. Like, the ice was not good. There's no doubt. And like, again, good fortune here. They went to Edmonton. Edmonton is known for having great ice. I actually don't remember thinking about it at all.
Yeah, me either.
But cool.
Neat. Look, after games one and two, we basically said the Avs don't need to change anything. Is that still the mantra heading into game five?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, last night was an interesting battle. It was a good push and pull. Each team had their moments, but Tampa Bay didn't. Tampa Bay had a great first period. We talked about like, hey, the 1-0, 17-4 in shots, like, you're lamenting the fact that you left offense on the ice there. And they did. They definitely did. Then the one goal that they got. Kidding me? You look at both goals that they scored last night. Really, you look at four of the five goals scored last night, and you're kind of like,
this is a little silly.
You for real with this shit?
Fair enough. Fair enough on that front. So it will be interesting, right? Because there's just a different feel to elimination games.
Yeah.
No matter what anyone says or how anyone feels about it, it's just a little bit different.
Yeah, well, and this is where Vossi's made his whole career, right?
Yep.
That when it comes elimination time, the guy just doesn't give up goals.
Yep.
This is the greatest test yet for him.
True enough. He's going to have to do it 3 times in a row. Avs, they only have to win one. I honestly, you said it before the show, but I think the both of us are just ready to. Is it 6 p.m. on Friday?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get there very, very quickly. We can keep this one short. AJ, any final thoughts here heading into game 5 or anything else you really wanted to touch on?
Oh, man, I just it's been I'm curious to see how they handle the moment tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because they've been so mature. They've been so focused.
Yeah.
Does anything change now? Yes, porn bots. Are we the only?
Definitely the only thing anywhere on YouTube cheering for porn bots. Is
yeah, are we the only chat that every time a porn bot shows up, we're like, yeah, porn bots, baby! No, I just think that I'm curious to see, like, one last test, right? Because there's nothing, there's no prior experience that can prepare you for this. Playing for the Stanley Cup. They've been competing in the Stanley Cup final, but tomorrow night will be the first time
that it is real. Yeah.
It's in the building. It'll be the first time that it is something that they are tangibly thinking about. It's in front of them. It's right there.
Yep.
I'm really curious to see how they handle that pressure tomorrow, because I think that's going to be a huge part of it. We know Tampa Bay is going to be comfortable. They have nothing to lose.
You can't ask for anything more.
Their back is against the wall. One more loss and that's it. They're done. They get to go home and they get to rest. They get to relax. They get to recover from an epic run. An epic, like, all-time great run. But how does Colorado handle that moment, man? Yeah. I want to know. Like, I want to fast forward to it because I want to know. This is the last test that stands between them and history.
It's truly something special. No matter what happens, it's something that the Avs fan base will never forget. So highly recommend you pay attention to it. Did just want to drop this quick knowledge bomb that AJ had the other night. Cale Makar, this year, currently the 4th most productive defenseman in playoff history.
Mm-hmm. We'll probably finish there unless he has another.
You'd have to have four more points to.
If they go to 7, there's a chance. You know, you could definitely see him moving up that list, but. It would take if they finish it tomorrow, it would take an Edmonton 5-point night for him to move up the list.
It's, you know, still not bad when you're throwing your name around with guys like Paul Coffey, Brian Leetch, and Al MacInnis. So,
yeah, his point per game ranking is high.
It's also in 4th of players that played at least 2 series.
Yeah, well, of the top scorers, I think Coffey is the only one that has a higher point per game.
Yeah, correct. Of the guys who have more points than him.
Yeah. Coffey did it. Coffey did 34 points in 18 games, I believe.
37 points.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, he passed Miro Heiskanen, and Miro Heiskanen had 27 games played.
Yep.
To get to 26 points. Yeah.
Cale Makar did it in 18.
Yeah. 18, dude. Imagine if Cale Makar had 27 games played. Like, you're talking about a guy who has a 40-point postseason.
Yep.
As a defenseman, you're just Anyway, yeah, we're not going to get into the Conn Smythe stuff. I just don't really, I don't know. Vote for Shesterkin.
We do have three super chats to get to here really quickly.
Great, let's hit them.
$5 from Joseph saying, who do you think is the Smythe front runner? There's obviously Kale, but I think you could make an argument for almost every guy in the top.
I think because of that, because of the fact that you can make an argument for so many different forwards, it's clearly Makar.
Yep. He's the standout defenseman for sure. $5 from, yeah, I agree. $5 from Miss Truly. I'm just feeling hella smug about all these people who are like, Tampa's been down 2-0 before with the Rangers. Avs ain't the Rangers, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They are not.
It was so weird to watch Lightning fans be like, oh, Avalanche fans are so arrogant. Like, we weren't just in this position. And it was like, you realize how arrogant you're being while your team is down 2-0, right?
It's a little weird, for sure.
Well, and then, like, you get out on the other side of it, and you're like, turns out they're not the fucking Rangers, eh?
Huh. Who could have known? Who could have known? Thank you for the five. And five more from our Moisters. Kind of off topic, but there was a video posted of the watch-along reaction since it went dark.
Was there? I don't actually... Did it even go dark?
I don't think it went dark.
I didn't think about it at all.
Let me see. Let me look really quick.
while you check. Chat.
Yeah, no, the watch along's still up on YouTube. You can still find it there.
Yeah, I mean the actual camera turned off though, as all.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it came back like right as we were. Yeah, there's probably no angle of that then, because the camera just died at the worst time.
It was fine. I mean, we didn't do anything.
Yeah, we just kind of sat there and yelled, and then the camera came back on, and you saw everyone hugging each other, so it's fine.
Yeah, the bar reaction is great, because you see JC just eat it. She falls down like 10 seconds in, and then gets back up, and then is like hopping around, and is, oh, it's so funny. So much energy.
Yeah, the bar reaction, just the whole video is awesome.
No, so I was going to ask, chat, can you guys name which without looking, you cheat holes?
No, they can't.
Can you name which Avs player has the most game-winning goals this postseason? Because Rudo and I were doing this last night. For some reason, I don't remember why I got on it, but I was trying to name all the game-winning goals in order from the entire Avs postseason.
None of these are correct yet.
There we go. There's one.
Yeah.
There it is.
Arturi Lekkonen has three.
And then there are three guys. Three guys tied with two. Nichushkin, Nazem Kadri, Andrew Cogliano.
As we all expected.
Yeah. The craziest part of this. Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. Zero. Not a single game-winning goal between those two cats.
Yep. So.
So when the next time when I say it takes a village... That's the shit I'm saying.
Mean. That's what you mean. yes, Kemper does have a game-winning assist. It is true. Okay. We're going to get out of here for the day. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume the pod. We appreciate it so very much. Y'all are awesome. We'll be back tomorrow, pregame, watch-along, postgame, one way or another. We'll fight through the lag for you. So we hope to see you there. And until then, we will talk to you on the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.